Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. A major canal project is proposed in Logan. It would divert water from First Dam to flow to residents in Logan, North Logan, and Hyde Park. Proponents of the project say that the current system is not efficient enough in getting water to those towns. Critics are worried that diverting this water would diminish the Little Logan River, and that it would be better to let the water flow on to the Bear River and ultimately to the Great Salt Lake. Joining me today are critics of the project, and we'll be talking with Suzanne Janicki, Andy Keller, Alana Nafziger, and Beth Bouton. Let's start with Suzanne Janicki. Just tell me briefly about yourself.
Yes, I'm a retired geoscientist. I'm an emerita. I still do research, and I became interested in this project when the question of whether it's a river or canal came up. So that is how I stepped into community activism. That's my other main hat nowadays.
All right. Alana Nafziger, tell me a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I have a master's in landscape architecture, and I grew up along the north branch of the Logan River, and I still live on it today, so it's just always been a really important part of my life, and I don't want to see that go away.
Mm-hmm. Beth Bouton, tell me about yourself.
I live on the section of the Little Logan River that is off the south branch, the main branch. And I'm interested because out my back door, I look at the controversy and what's going on. I look at it multiple times during the day. And
yeah.
I love the river.
Yeah.
I care.
You care, yeah. Could we ask you to pull your microphone just a little closer to your mouth there? Yeah.
Yeah,
very good. Thank you. Andy Keller, tell us about yourself.
I live with my wife, Lauren, right across from River Hollow Park, which is where the north branch of the Logan River and the south branch branch. And the north branch is also referred to as the Little Logan River. So living right there, I've lived in that neighborhood basically my entire life and have a deep appreciation for that resource. Besides that, I am an irrigation and water resources engineer, so I have professional expertise in what is being planned for this project.
All right, very good. Let me ask you, Andy, because I was asking you before we went on the air, to outline the Little Logan River. Where does it start? Where does it end?
So it starts where the south and north branch divide, and the north branch, again, is the same as the Little Logan River, and that's right at River Hollow Park down in the island area, right off of Crockett Avenue, for those of you that know that. And the two river branches are what actually create what we call the island. And anybody very familiar with Logan knows about the island. A lot of people refer to the island as everything in that area, but technically the island is the island that's formed between the two branches of the Logan River, which then rejoin out west of Logan. The north branch of the Logan River, the Little Logan River, flows through, I think it's a dozen city parks and green spaces, River Hollow Park, Jens Johansson, Merlin Olson, and just on and on. It's the river behind the high school. It's out to the fairgrounds. And if you look at an aerial photography of Logan, you see this ribbon of green that's created by the Little Logan River, that it's providing the water for so much green and whatever in Utah, in Logan.
Mm-hmm. You were also telling me before we went to the air about a little bit of history of this river.
Yeah, and please jump in, but the Little Logan River is what Logan was settled on. It is the river that provided the water that was used to power the mills. Of course, to power the mills, the water would be taken from the Little Logan River by a canal up to a higher elevation where it could run down, but then it would return to the Logan River, the Little Logan River. So it is foundational to the history of Logan itself.
Mm-hmm. Could I jump in on a geology thing?
For sure.
So when I had a chance to look at whether it's a river or not, I quickly looked at a LIDAR image and could see that the river still preserves its meanders. That is a natural feature of a river in a fairly open valley like this. And this river was formed after Lake Bonneville dried up. So it goes way back. And the size of the meanders on the North Branch and the South Branch are very similar. So originally, there was roughly half and half, 40-60% of the water flowed in the North Branch versus the South Branch. And now there's a very different balance of water flows. It's been modified by humans over years, and there's a risk of no water being allowed to continue to flow in the Little Logan River, despite the fact that it has been continuously a river since it formed about 15,000 years ago.
Hmm. What is the projection, I guess? How many cubic feet per is it second? Is it flowing now, and what would it reduce to if this project were successful?
Well, right now, the flow in the North Branch of the Logan River is about 70 CFS of water. That's cubic feet per second of water flowing. The plan, as put forth by the project proponents, would reduce that to at most 10 CFS, and then with further reductions depending on water availability and the like. But the plan is really not that clear as to exactly how much water would be left for the Little Logan River. Our analysis shows that there would be maybe up to 1 in 4 years that there would be absolutely no water available. And most of the time, there would be somewhere probably around 5 CFS if they followed through. Mm-hmm. But worse than that, it's no longer really treated as a river by the plan. It's really treated by as a completely man-manipulated hydrologic feature instead of a river. So it's not a free-flowing river under the preferred alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Lonovsker, you live on the river?
I live on the river, right by Jens Johansen Park.
Yeah. So tell me, before we get into, sort of the trade-offs that the proponents are talking about, tell me about the aesthetics of this. What was it like living on this river?
I mean, so as long as I've lived there, they have, it's been managed as a canal, so it turns off during the winter, essentially. But growing up there was just, incredible because of the river. You know, we have this like icy cold water, and I have 4 siblings, and me and my siblings and all of the neighborhood kids would just be playing in the river all summer long. We would tube down to Merlin Olsen Park. You know, you could be eating raspberries off the banks as you floated through the yards back there, and just kind of exploring. And I think that the river really played a role in connecting me to Logan, and just became almost so familiar that I didn't even know how important it was until this plan got started, and I started thinking about what it would be like without the river. And it's just gorgeous, and there's so much life that depends on it too. So many animals, so many plants, trees, and I feel so lucky to have that river in my life. And I found out at some point in this too that the river has been in my family since the first settlers came here. My great-great-many-times-great-grandfather, Israel Justice Clark, was among the first settlers who camped on the banks of the Little Logan River. And that's something I've really heard from people a lot through this effort, too, is that, you know, people are gathering there for family reunions. And it's really just that the Little Logan River is part of the family, and it's really part of the culture here. And I think that because it's so familiar and so it's just been there for forever, you know, that we can kind of forget about it a little bit.
Yeah. You said that it's kind of managed like a canal. It turns off.
Yeah. So there's water in the river during the irrigation season. So that's May through, I think, the end of September, early October. And it's really sad every fall when it gets shut off, because there's just a bunch of fish laying dead. And in right behind my house, there's still a little bit of water, but it's just really, there's something really heartbreaking, honestly, about having this incredible river and then having it just gone every winter.
Mm-hmm. Tom, this is
yes
an important issue. You don't turn off a river.
Mm-hmm.
If the Little Logan is not a river, as they're contending, then they can do what they want, like turn it off and kill a bunch of fish. But you can't do that. And that's a national law.
Mm-hmm.
Rivers are treated differently than
right
canals.
Okay.
And that's so important in this discussion. And very heated discussions start based on that. It's a lot of people think it's just a canal. And so part of what we've been doing is trying to educate people mm-hmm about.
So you're saying it's being managed wrong right now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There are actual head gates
yeah mm-hmm
that they close in the winter to just completely stop the flow down the Little Logan River.
Yeah.
It does naturally divert or take off, but then these head gates right by Crockett Avenue, just upstream of Crockett Avenue, are closed, and the water from the Little Logan River is diverted straight back to the South Branch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a complete artificial
yeah
obstruction of the winter flows.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm guessing you'd like to head off this project and then make some changes to how the river is managed right now?
Yes. And we'd like to start with recognizing it as a river.
Yeah.
This plan, and it's 2,000 pages plus, is very careful to avoid referring to the North Branch of the Logan River or to the Little Logan River. It simply says Little Logan or North Branch, and never says the word river.
Mm-hmm. Because that has legal and
that has implications.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we have reached out to the state engineer to clarify that.
Yeah. Well, this would be a good time to take a break. When we come back, I want to throw some arguments the proponents are putting forth for this project and have you rebut those. Then we'll go from there. We are talking about the Little Logan River, a major canal project proposed, would divert water from that river. And the people in the room right now are critics of the project, and others are saying that they're worried that would diminish the Little Logan River. Also, that it would be better to let that water flow onto the Bear River, ultimately the Great Salt Lake. We're talking with Suzanne Jenneke, Andy Keller, Alona Nafziger, and Beth Bouton. More following this. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking about the Little Logan River, historic river in Logan, as we've heard. There's a canal project being proposed, which would divert water from that river, pressurize it, get it to people in Logan, North Logan, and Hyde Park for irrigation. And we have some critics of the project in studio today. Suzanne Jenneke, Andy Keller, Alona Nafziger, and Beth Bouton. Before we get into some arguments that proponents are making, have you rebut those? Suzanne Jenicke, you were off the air here. You were talking about how this used to be a big trout river.
That's right. It used to be the best trout fishery in the state, and many people would go out and catch their dinner in the river, and that was decimated when, off and on, starting first in the 70s, but then for good after the mid-90s or so, the canal companies were allowed to divert all the river water out of the Little Logan River after the irrigation season. And we would like to have the river, which rivers are protected more than canals, we'd like the river to start getting its winter flows back as a natural river should have.
Yeah.
Canals are man-made. This is clearly not a man-made feature. It was on a map before its potential canal builders even settled on its banks. So the document claims that it's a man-made feature, and we can rebut that pretty clearly.
Hmm. Well, Nofsker, you were saying even today, when they turned the water off, you got dead fish.
Yeah, and you know, in recent years, there's been, since there is a small amount of water that's just from a little stream that flows back, it's a spring somewhere, I think, but you know, there's a lot of algae going on in the spring when it kind of gets a little warmer, and it just makes for really unhealthy conditions, honestly, to have dead fish, to have algae, to have the kind of like just this empty riverbed there that's obviously supposed to have water flowing in it.
So let me run some arguments in favor of this project. Obviously, you guys are opposed to it, so you can respond. So the president of the canal company says people should have a choice in what water they use on their lawns. This project would make secondary water more widely available alternative. I guess some people in Logan, North Logan, Hyde Park, who are using culinary water to water their lawns, etc., would now have a choice of secondary water if this pressurized system and a diversion of water from Little Logan were made available to people in those towns. What say you?
Well, I would like to say that I think we do have a choice. I had my former professor says that secondary water is the same water, just a different color. So I think that's important to keep in mind that ultimately the water is the water that we have. It's not somehow additional water. And because of my education in landscape architecture and environmental planning, I'm looking through this project at this project. And I think it's always better to be kind of working with natural systems than against them. And right now, there's more development going on than we've ever had up until this point. And so we haven't had to explicitly choose and place value on rivers because they've simply been there. And so I think that making this choice is something that we should do with an incredible amount of intention, because ultimately, is that the direction we would like to go, is to, you know, support watering lawns for further destabilizing the Great Salt Lake watershed. And I think really collectively, no. And so I think that the choice should be more of a collective decision, and that we could really create this beautiful legacy of stewardship from that, instead of having our legacy be we dried up the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're pointing out this is all a part of the Great Salt Lake watershed, right? And that the collective choice, we should choose whether or not that water flows onto the lake or not, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Suzanne Jenicke.
Yeah, we haven't brought up the amazing, huge expense of this and the choice of having our taxpayer money, which is, over the lifetime of this would be $410 million, the choice of having our tax money and fees spent on this project is not available to us. So the sponsors argue that users should have a choice, but we taxpayers don't have a choice whether $41,000 per user, potential user of this water gets spent. And this is a wildly expensive project. In fact, it looks like it's more than three times the nationwide national budget of the entire program. It's just a shockingly large amount of money. And most of us don't understand what $310 million is, but just for comparison, the largest infrastructure project that's ever been built in Cache Valley is the Logan Wastewater Treatment Plant. And when you adjust for inflation, that cost $171 million. So with the amount of money that's being requested here, you could almost build two new wastewater treatment plants in order to, in this case, provide water to at most 10,000 users, whereas that wastewater treatment plant benefits over 100,000 people in the community and has space to accommodate and help more people have clean, drinkable water, helps the environment. And this project is basically encouraging people to water their yards. In Utah, that mostly means turf. Many of us have excess turf. It's common in Utah for people to overwater their turf, and so we are basically growing and encouraging a crop of turf with this project.
Now, proponents might counter. I've heard a couple of arguments. They say that doing this new pressurized system would allow cities to delay or eliminate other costly water projects. And they say water rates, yes, would go up in the short term, but if culinary water demand goes down, then those would stabilize.
Yes, that's what they say. But the project is framed entirely on efficiency improvements in the conveyance and delivery of water, and does nothing to look at a reduction in the demand for water. And that's what Suzanne was getting at with, for example, water-wise vegetation, turf reduction programs, smart irrigation technologies. All these things could be done to reduce the demand for outdoor water use. And that's really what we're talking about, is outdoor water use. So,
oh my God.
I think that's my phone. Gemini is transcribing what you're saying. Let me turn that on silent.
Gemini's a critic of the plan too.
Well, I'm glad that I have.
We'll
Gemini
leave the Orwellian
on my side.
Portion of the program. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. Well. Yes. It's right on. We would argue that that's a major failure of the plan so far, and the consideration of options. It does not consider what we would call the conservation option that would reduce the demand and then do the economic analysis on it. What the proponents are saying is that we can have the secondary water system and thereby relieve some of the pressure on the culinary system. But when they go and do the analysis in the draft environmental impact statement, they make gross assumptions about what the future population growth is going to be. In fact, they're using 3.5% population growth, which is not happening anywhere in Utah and has never happened in any of the communities that are affected here for any duration of time. They're thinking of that happening out for 50 years. And not only that, they're assuming that the relationship between population and outdoor water use is going to stay constant. So therefore, they're basically growing the demand for outdoor water use at that rate without considering any kind of conservation program that could be done outdoor people, or increased population densities, all these things that really reduce the per capita outdoor water use. So we strongly disagree with that argument that it's necessary to offset the culinary water development costs. And we believe if proper economic analysis is done, it would actually show that this is going to increase costs overall for people in municipalities than reduce it.
The Logan Public Works Department Director Paul Lindhart said this: if this project goes ahead, it would remove 28 homes near the Logan River from a floodplain. I suppose if you don't have the river there, it's not a floodplain. Is that what he's saying?
That's a little different. Does anybody else? Suzanne, do you want
I'm
to
not sure what he's saying.
Yes, there's two kinds of flood prevention that's in this project, and the smaller part is along the main Logan River in the Sumac neighborhood. And in the 80s, there were the big floods around the state, and at the time, only 7 basements were threatened with flooding. So we're not convinced that the flood risk is even as serious as they report. And when you look at the numbers that are in the report, it sounds like many of the homes that have flood risk just have an inch or two of water in their lot. So making major changes in a neighborhood that doesn't apparently even want this change to be done because it would degrade the Little Logan River doesn't appear to be justified.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So the part of this project, the funding would come from the Natural Resource Conservation Service, I understand. And so they'd, as part of the project, they would construct trails, which is, you know, I guess that's a nice thing, trails.
So that is recreation. And this project, it's a very confusing, enormously long, complex document. So it's hard to understand it all. That's one issue. Recreation is defined as these new, very short trails. I think they're a little over 4,000 feet long. And all the existing recreation along the Little Logan River, the millions of dollars of free water sports and family recreation and wading and picnicking and shade, all the environmental benefits, Alana has calculated that those are worth millions of dollars. And they are invisible in this project because the sponsors treat the Little Logan River as if it were a canal. And they therefore do not log, count, account for, consider all of those enormous benefits in true recreation, and instead are trying to placate us. I'm sorry, that's too strong a word. to say, oh, we're giving you these short little trails of recreation. Whereas in fact, the project, because during drought, most of the time, the Little Logan River will have a trickle of water or no water. Drought is likely to continue. There will be much, much damage to recreation instead.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we talk about, I think some of the trails proposed would actually close what is part of the canal system. But I think there's a failure to really acknowledge how important and fundamental open waterways are to healthy communities. And it's kind of like a keystone of healthy communities almost. And so if we could just find ways, which there are plenty, to, you know, create more recreation opportunity while still keeping this kind of vital resource in our community, I think that would be a lot better. So, of course, trails are nice, but they can look like many different things. And I think that we need to, again, be really intentional about what we want in our community and how that's actually going to affect the quality of life here and the physical experience of living here. And if we start just taking away pieces and saying, well, this is good because there's a trail, then we really run the risk of, you know, in some years from now, not too far into the future, just having a bunch of trails to, but kind of nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
The trails, Tom, are actually ancillary to what they need for the pipeline maintenance. So they're claiming recreational benefit, which there would be some on those trails, but they're claiming that benefit in order to pay for their maintenance routes. And not only that, most of these trails are paralleling nearby existing pathways. So they're not where our most needed trail network is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Now, you mentioned that the Little Logan, you can track it. It's a lot of parks, a lot of green spaces along the Little Logan. What would happen if that's still to a year-round trickle? What would happen to those green spaces, do we think?
I mean, I think that they would lose a lot of the mature trees along the river, certainly. I think it would change the entire landscape to lose the river in that way, or to diminish it, I guess. And that would come with a loss of habitat too, so there would be less creatures, and we would have less of a green belt. And in a time where, you know, drought conditions are increasing and we're feeling all these adverse effects of climate change, I think, again, it's just so vital that we keep something like this, you know. I mean, we can see examples in Salt Lake City of what happens when you start covering waterways, and then, you know, years later, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to open those waterways because they've identified that that's so important. And so I think it would really just, you know, take something from our public parks and take the access of the river from people. And again, that would result in less quality of life. I mean, the quality of life here would be lower, less opportunity for recreation, and just be a huge loss for residents of Logan and residents of the valley and people visiting.
We'll head toward another break here, and Alana, I know you have to leave after this break. Anything else, final words from you on this?
I just thank you, Tom, for having us on, and I just really wanted to say that I'm so impressed with the people I'm working alongside in this effort. They've spent an enormous amount of time, and I just think it's so amazing, and I really hope that our community can continue to value this river as we do. And I would encourage people to write Ammon Boswell at the NRCS. The deadline is 5 p.m. today. So please write him and tell him if you want to keep this river in our community, because ultimately it's our choice to do that. And I hope you all out there listening will choose with me to really keep this river. Thank you.
Okay, that's Alana Nofsker. We also have with us Suzanne Jenicke, Andy Keller, and Beth Bouton. We're talking about the Little Logan River and this proposed project, which would divert water from that river. We'll have more following this break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. We're talking about an issue in the Logan area, Cache Valley area, the Little Logan River. There's a canal project proposed, which would greatly diminish that river. Proponents of the project say the current system isn't efficient enough in getting water to Logan, North Logan, and Hyde Park. And so they're wanting to pressurize that water, put it into a pipe, I guess, is what would happen, right? And send it off to those towns. And we have some critics of the project with us. They're worried that diverting this water would diminish the Little Logan River and an overall, a view of this watershed. Why don't we let the water flow on to the Bear River and ultimately the Great Salt Lake? Some of the arguments that the opponents of the project are making. Andy Keller, maybe I'll direct this at you. So the proponents say that if the new system is put in place, the water would be put into a pipe, and therefore less seepage, etc.
That's right. And what one of the things that people fail to realize is that it doesn't create any new water to stop the seepage. It just moves where the water is used. So all the water that's seeping through the riverbeds, through the canals, whatever, that water is going to the aquifer, and it's available downstream. And ultimately, it's part of the water that can get to the Great Salt Lake. It's also water that, as we've noted, is the trees are tapping into and everything else. So that seepage water is not waste water. And it's a big confusion that people have about improving what we call irrigation efficiency. We reduce the seepage and the return flows through deep percolation or whatever, but that water never really leaves the hydrologic system. It's still there. What leaves the hydrologic system is that water that evaporates and transpires through lawns, for example. That's water is truly lost from the system. So by stopping the seepage and then converting that seeped water into more lawn irrigation, you're actually increasing the loss of water from the Logan River watershed and ultimately the Great Salt Lake rather than decreasing it.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to do a round of just any other arguments you want to make, and then I want to ask you what action you're asking people to take on this. So I'll start with you, Suzanne Janicki. Any more arguments on this?
Sure. The claim you mentioned was that this might offset future expensive culinary projects that might be needed. And I'm actually very confused by that because the biggest city involved in this is Logan, and its residents are about 75% of the residents involved in the project. There's three cities involved. And anyone who lives on the island knows that right now there's a very expensive, disruptive culinary water project being installed that I'm pretty sure the residents of Logan were told would take care of their culinary needs for 50 years. So why would this Logan River Watershed Project help those people? 75% of the residents involved already have a very expensive project being installed, so that doesn't make sense. So the huge expense of this project is kind of unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And there are many ways that the goals of this project could be met. For example, leasing the water that was last used in full on the 20th day of 1962 or 1963, leasing that unused, currently unneeded water to the Great Salt Lake could be a huge win-win for everyone. The Great Salt Lake needs it. Our lungs need it so that we don't have to breathe in more toxins in the future. And the health of the community needs it. The river needs it. Leasing that water is much less a damaging, more cost-effective solution to the problem that they're trying to solve with this project.
Mm-hmm. Andy Keller, arguments against this, any more that you'd like to give?
I just would like to build on what's maybe been said a little bit more, and that is at this time when we're faced with droughts and by all indications, we can expect that to be a continuing and more normal condition for us. We need to be thinking about the watershed and the airshed that we belong to. We cannot be thinking about just our own little geographic boundary area that we live in, because the water flows through it, the air flows through it, it's all part of the system. And that's, to me, is one of the biggest failures of this Logan River Watershed project, is it only looks at itself within the Logan River watershed and does not recognize it as a main tributary to the Bear River, and thereby the Bear River being the major tributary to the Great Salt Lake. It does not take that broader basin perspective. And in fact, the project sponsors are really, they've publicly said that their objective is to protect the water rights of the Logan River Water shareholders. And because they are actually currently underutilizing their water, the water that they have a right to, and they want to build this project in order to more fully utilize that water. And who knows, we'll get the monetary benefit of that. And it's just a very myopic and so locally centered and not recognizing where we fit in the broader picture. We have the governor of Utah is begging Utahns to be smart about, Governor Cox is begging us to be smart about our outdoor water use. Even to the point of saying, I love this, if the only time you step on your lawn is to push your lawnmower, you may not need it. And the state legislature has enacted laws that allow water shareholders to lease their water to the Great Salt Lake and not lose their water right. So it doesn't take away their property right there. President Trump is working to get $1 billion to save the Great Salt Lake. And most of that $1 billion would go to lease water. So it's even coming from there. Ducks Unlimited has pledged $100 million towards this. Private families in Utah have pledged $100 million, all to get more water. They're saying, get more water to the Great Salt Lake. And yet this project, it's completely counter to all those efforts. It's trying to increase water use in Logan, North Logan, and Hyde Park at the detriment of that water flowing to the Great Salt Lake and feeding our beloved Little Logan River.
Mm. Ms. Bhutani, anything you'd like to add here?
Oh, just that our local government has not been active in promoting water conservation. For example, just educating people how to do it well and perhaps even providing tax rebates. Being involved in this group has led me to take out my front yard. And it doesn't look great right now, but it's going to look great. Mm. And I'm replacing my lawn with water-wise plants. And I intend to do the backyard as well.
Yeah.
So incentives could be there that would have sped things up for me because I had to save money to do this. It isn't cheap. It isn't super expensive either. But regular people need to save money to do a really good quality low water maintenance yard.
Okay. Well, a couple minutes left. Let's get some information to people. If people have been convinced in this hour that the project is terrible, maybe people haven't been convinced. I guess they could comment as well. But their comment period, I guess, ends today, does it?
It ends today at 5 p.m.
So where do people get their comments?
If they could send an email to ammon.boswell@usda.gov with the subject line, Logan River Watershed Project DEIS, that's Draft Environmental Impact Statement. If they could write their comments, it doesn't need to be long or eloquent. Just say what you think, whether you're concerned about the parks being bone dry, maybe 1 in 4 years. So the sponsors say they will allow 5 to 10 CFS of water to flow in the river when available. When there's an extreme drought, there will be no water. And the records show that that's 1 in 4 years in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So there will be zero water or just a trickle. What's in Merlin Olson Park right now doesn't even cover my whole foot. Mm-hmm. That might be what we have during regular drought.
Mm-hmm. give us that email again. Give it to us twice so people can write it down.
Ammon, A-M-N-O-N dot Boswell, B-O-S-W-E-L-L at USDA.gov.
As to get your comments on this, I guess however you feel, you guys are hoping to be flooded with anti-project comments. One more time.
Ammon.Boswell at USDA.gov. That's the email address.
And the subject line should
subject
say?
Subject line should say Logan River Watershed Project, DEIS.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thanks for coming and talking about this. It's have big effects either way, right, in Logan area. We've been talking about this project with Suzanne Janicki. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Andy Keller, thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
And Beth Bouton, thank you.
Thank you.
I made it a little French. Beth Bouton is how you say it.
Thank you.
Probably originally it was Beth Bouton, I guess. And then Alana Nofziger was with us earlier in the program. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Access Utah.